Green Visions on KUMD is a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items. Well, we think about them as doing good for folks. We don't often think about them as green, but they certainly are. Shay Morris joins us on the phone this morning. She's the executive director of Second Harvest Northern Lakes Food Shelf, Food Bank, and she joins us this morning on the phone. Shay, it's kind of a Monday on a Wednesday. Good morning. It's good to have you with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So let's talk about your food recovery efforts. It's really easy, even if you're not trying to sound intelligent on the radio, to get food shelf and food bank mixed up. And they're two different things. Can you kind of straighten me out here?
Yeah. So a food bank, there's only one in this entire region, and that's Second Harvest Northern Lakes. And our role really in the hunger system is a rescue nationally and regionally donated food that we then make available to direct service programs like food shelves, soup kitchens, shelters, and then other charitable programs.
So, in essence, it is like a bank. There sits the food, and then the food shelves and the food pantries can come and say, we need food, we need to feed people, and they're the ones that take the food then and go back and give it to folks who need it. Is that right?
That is correct.
So, what if a person is working in a store or a restaurant and stuff passes its expiration date, or maybe part of their deal is that we do the baking fresh every day, so yesterday's baking has to be disposed of? Can they contact you and say, hey, you know, we've got this perfectly good food, you want it?
Well, and that's exactly what they do, and that's really the crux of what we do at Second Harvest is, you know, we want to take food, you know, where it might land in the landfill and make it available to people in need. So that's really where we come in as food banks.
Now, is there any, and of course, this is such a goofy thing because, you know, we know we've talked about this in connection with folks that wanted to donate venison in the fall.
Sure.
And sometimes there are health concerns. I mean, you need to be careful about what you're donating certain, you know, products were, because you want to make sure that nobody bites on a piece of lead shot or nobody, you know, eats something that's going to make them ill. Are there any, if a restaurant says, well, you know, I'd kind of like to donate this food, but I just want to make sure that I'm not, you know, there isn't a liability issue, because everything all boils down to liability issues. Are there any problems there?
You know, of course, this, you know, food banking has been tried and tested for, you know, since the late 60s, early 70s. I don't think there's ever been a case of foodborne illness where, you know, a donor ended up being liable for the harm or lack of safety for an individual who received the food. And there's the Good Samaritan Law that protects donors who in good faith donate their products to food banks or other charitable organizations. And I will say that, you know, even as a nonprofit, we're a heavy regulated industry because we're in the food service business. So there's a lot of safety practices and sanitation that we practice here at Second Harvest and that we, you know, impose on our agency partners so that the food system stays safe, you know, from the time the product is donated to the end recipients. And that's really important for us.
So if anybody perhaps has been thinking, I'd maybe like to make a donation of this stuff, but I'm worried that it's going to come back to haunt me the way sometimes good deeds do, nah, not going to happen.
Yeah, and we have, I mean, probably over 80 donors locally and regionally who support Second Harvest. And again, we've done this for 31 years. We've never had an issue, you know, where there was a claim of somebody being harmed or ill because of the food product. And like I said, we just are really careful about safety.
So what if you say, boy, I'd really like to make this food donation, but I'm so busy, I just don't have time to truck it down to Second Harvest. I bet you got a solution for that, too.
We do, Lisa, as you know. So we send trucks out on the road, you know, every day of, well, I shouldn't say every day, but Sunday. We have trucks that are traveling, you know, throughout the entire region who are collecting food that is available either through restaurants, our local grocery stores, you know, the medical community, did I say restaurants, and are collecting that product that was produced locally. And then we immediately, oftentimes, make it available to agency partners partners, and those partners could be, you know, Lifehouse Shelter for Youth, there's a Salvation Army programs, or Damiano Center, or Boys and Girls Club. Those are all programs that would receive those donations right from Second Harvest and the donor.
Now, you sometimes hear on the news or read about an instance where, for example, a restaurant will say at closing time, you know, we've got all of this food, it's not, you know, still packaged up, you know, we've got these plates of the special sitting here left to go, we've got the stuff that we cooked tonight, we cooked a little extra, there's some extra, and there's nobody to eat it. Right. And that's the kind of thing that would almost need to be consumed fairly quickly. Is there a mechanism in place in our community for those kinds of maybe whole meals to be rescued?
Yeah. You know, it really depends. I mean, certainly in the food industry, we can't accept product that's been previously served to the public. So meaning it went out of the, you know, back house of a restaurant and it made it to the front house and it's coming back, or if it was sitting in a buffet situation. So, you know, even these large buffets that you might think of and say, oh gosh, there was mashed potatoes left over. Well, that's had human contact. So we have to be really careful that that product wasn't contaminated. So we can take anything that's been in the back of the house, but anything previously served to the public is not going to be suitable for us to distribute to our agency partners or to people that we serve.
But if the restaurant wanted to take some kind of disposable plate and make up a nice little meal with, you know, here's a little meat, here's some potatoes, and here's a little garnish on it.
Well, you know, and we work with restaurants like Red Lobster, the Olive Garden. Those are some national chains that actually work with our Feeding America system. And we have it down pretty pat. I mean, they're receiving like a large plastic bag that's food grade. And, you know, things like pasta or you know, stuff that they pre-produce can be packaged, labeled, it has to be labeled, and then put in the freezer, and then we come and pick that product up. So there's a whole chain of what has to be done, but yes, certainly there's, you know, restaurants probably have the smallest amount of product that we pick up. You know, a lot of our large producers are the grocery stores, the retail sector, and that can be, you know, anyone from Whole Foods Co-op and Cub Foods to, of course, our wonderful Super One Foods, Target, Walmart, Sam's Club. I mean, those are really big producers of deli, dairy, produce, and meat department donations that really help our region thrive.
But every little bit helps.
It does. It definitely does.
Now, one of the other things that we talk about, Shay, when I've had you as a guest on the show before, is you have, and we've said, you know, well, what can people do to help? And of course, there are great volunteer opportunities. And you always say, well, and who wouldn't, cash. But yep. You always qualify that by saying, yep, you can do so much more with that particular donation of cash than I could, the person on the street. How does that work?
Yeah. So for $1, we can rescue and distribute enough food for 5 meals. And the reason we're able to do that is because the food, like we just talked about, is donated. So that's free to us. Our only cost is transportation, storage, and handling of that food from the time we get it to the time we distribute it. And that can, you know, be up in Ely, that can be down in Moose Lake, because we're distributing all over the region. So it's really an efficient way to feed people because, again, the food is free. It's just the handling of the food that costs us. And that's where that dollar is so powerful because, I mean, for $1, if you go to the grocery store, it's, you know, you're not going to be able to secure 5 meals for a family, but you provide it to Second Harvest and we can rescue that food and definitely get it to a family.
Well, and again, it's something that you would like to think of, food in a landfill, you know, that's going to deteriorate, you know, probably quickly. But, oh, what a, you know, first of all, nasty when you think about that stuff going out to the landfill.
Definitely.
And after that, the number of people that need food that have a good meal as a result.
Yeah, definitely. And I always like to share the statistic that, you know, USDA estimates that about 27% of the food produced in the United States is thrown away as waste. And that's really where food banking got its legs is, you know, they were the frontline organizations that said, we can't let this food go to waste in a country who has a hunger problem. So it's really been an important part of our mission to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Shay, it's always so great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Lisa.
Shay Morris is the executive director of Second Harvest, and she joined us this morning as our guest on Green Visions. Today's Green Visions is a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items.